Today is April 8th, 2024, and I have to begin as I've been beginning my shiurim for the last 6 months already. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim b'tzara b'shivyam din bein b'yam bein b'yabashel bein b'avir hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzim mitzara l'rubacha me'afeila li'ora mishibad l'gula hashto b'agala u'gizman kariv Vinoma Amen. I want to mention Ani Modela Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have some of you know me 50 years, more than 50 years, but you know I've been teaching Torah 64 years now, and Baruch Hashem, I have many students today across the board. Minimum in YU, many more in Lakewood, near Yisrael, Gare. They say over 1,000 in Chabad, and all over Israel. So ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Megalin zchut al yedei zakai v'gemarin makot. I have a big zchut today. What happened was, about a year and a half ago in class, I quoted from a Hebrew book written by the granddaughter of Reb Moshe and Leah Horowitz, Batsheva Sutton, and it's about the terrible tragedy she went through 21 years ago to Yadaba, Friday night at the Shabbat table. Her parents, Ellie and Dina, or Debbie, both happened to be Dina. Debbie Wolf was a very dear, close student who inspired the Rebbe. Her husband later adopted me as his Rebbe and came to me with questions because he was involved with Anglo teenagers. And she wrote a book about the tragedy, about the family. I quoted from the book in class, and as you know, my shiurim go on yutorah.org, and I let me pardon me for boasting, but there are over 100,000 shiurim in YU Torah, and the shiur that's number one with the most hits was by a guy named Rakefet down the hall from here in his office. The alumni asked me to say a few words about how to survive the war we're going through, and that's the shiur that's gotten the most hits of any other shiur on YU Torah. It's also on YouTube as well. So a student picked up that I was quoting from this book, Elliot Forgash, living in Teaneck today, and he got in touch with me and said, Rebbe, is there an English translation? I told him, no. He said, could you arrange the English translation and I'll cover all costs. And we're sitting here a year and a half later. The book is now available. It's a fabulous book. It's already been reviewed by Rabbi Geffen. And the English translation, and Geffen is a wonderful publisher. They have people working for them who are top quality. I know from my own experience. And we have the volume here today as a result. And I want to thank Cindy and Elliot Forgash for making it available. I also want to mention that, again, I have wonderful students. I'm very thankful to my students. And the Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider, the Torah Tidbits, if you look at the authors, about half of them are my students. And the editor's my student. And Rabbi Aaron honored this event. And if you notice, the Torah Tidbits for this week, the cover is exactly the cover of the book. So I have to thank Rabbi Goldscheider as well. Also, I want to mention Yomo. Some of you know Yomo, some of you know Moni by name. Yosef Mordechai Gachman, who YU has hired to assist me. And Yomo made this all possible today. He takes care of the Zoom people are up all night in New York and Chicago, New Jersey, Florida, and it's all Yomo, the recording, uploading YU, and above all the emails, I get all the questions, and I dictate answers, and Yomo corrects my English. He only was born in Kiev, and four armies are after him. Russians claim him because he was born Soviet Union. The Ukrainians claim him, he was born in Kiev. America claims him because he became a good Jew in America, a teenager. And Israel rightfully claims him because he's been living here for how many years, Yomo? 12, 13, how many?
10 and a half.
All right, Allah, that's close. I overstated it slightly. All right, with that being said, let me begin. Now, let me make clear, I'm not going to tell you and talk about what's in the book. You read the book. I want to talk about certain ideas that the book touches upon, and I want to put them into the eternal context of Torah Hashem. I want to begin with the Gemara in Menachot, Daf Chaf Chet Amid Aleph, Daf Chaf Chet Amid Bet, a very important Gemara for us. Tana Rabbanan. Kol hakelim she'asa Moshe k'sheidim lo u'k'sheidim l'dorot. Chatzotzerot k'sheirat lo u'psulot l'dorot. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Beit HaMikdash, I don't have to tell you, we've been looking in the Vatican underground. There are all types of rumors what they have there. If we could recover the Aron and the Menorah, the Shulchan, we wouldn't have to work so hard in the old city in creating new kelim. But the Chatzotzerot, only Moshe Rabbeinu, what we speak about in Pashat Ba'alotcha, Hakela Teida, Moshe had to make his own. And they get buried with him. It can't be used afterwards. Very powerful Gemara. Kol HaKelim HaKosha L'Dorot. Chatzrot k'sheirot lo u'psulot l'dorot. And what does this mean? And here is a very powerful explanation. You see, the kelim are eternal, the Beit HaMikdash, the Avoda. Nothing changes. Chatzotzerot are used in connection with the Jewish people. B'hakela teida. It involves Jewish generations, people, happiness, war, so many different purposes. But in order to speak to each generation, you have to speak their language. What was good yesteryear may not be very successful today or tomorrow. Chatzotzerot b'hakela ta'eda, each generation, each leader, you have to forge your own. And this is so true. I just had a dialogue with a student out of the 60s who maybe I also helped inspire, bring him an aliyah. And he's traveling now, of course. He and his wife have children here and children there. They're going to be in the States for Pesach, so he can't be here. But some of you have seen in my writings and my classes, I praise Rav Yaakov Moshe Cohen Lessen, the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva in my time. And I gained the world from my Rebbe in Musa. And this student, close the door please, this student lets me know his opinion. Rabbi Lessen, and he would come in when I was privileged to hear Rabbi Lessen when I entered the yeshiva in 51, and from 62 to 69, I was a Rosh Yeshiva when I taught in YU in Yeshiva Subzichot Chanan. Rav Lessen would come in every few weeks to my class and give a Musa talk. And this student, Rebbe, you got out of Rav Lessen. I didn't get a thing. Who could understand him? Wow, you praise him. You see, but there's a difference there between this student and myself. There are about 15 years. I was an American kid, third generation American. I was seeking to recreate Europe. We knew Europe was decimated. Torah was gone. The yeshivot were gone. I was seeking the past. Rav Lesson to me was like dew from heaven. My Talmud, he was a survivor. He was born in the States. The parents who got over from the DP camps with miracles. He later wrote a book about his father and uncle and how they survived Hitler. And this kid, the last thing in the world he wanted was Europe and Yiddish and the old country. And to me, Rav Lesson was everything. To him, it was a bore. Wer darf das haben? Wer versteht denn? Wer will das? It's, wow. It's more than that. Yiftach b'doro k'shmo b'doro. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, daf chavchei amid bet. You see, every generation has to get a leader that speaks its language. You can have Shmuel, and Shmuel, one of the greatest of our leaders, of our Nevi'im, of our Shoftim, Shmuel, Hanavi. But you can have a generation where a rough guy like Yiftach, a fighter, a battler, Yiftach, he was successful. Shmuel would not be successful. But Tova, he was successful. Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf lamed chet amid bet. Beautiful Gemara. Every generation, you take my Rebbe's family. I've lectured hundreds of thousands of hours and written tens of thousands of words on the Soloveitchik family. People from the greater Soloveitchik family send their children to me to tell them who they come from. But you see, you take the Rav. The Rav was named for his great-grandfather, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi, Slutska Briska Rav Beit Halevi. The Rav was named for him. Why the Rav was named for his great-grandfather, I write about in my two volumes on the Rav. Probably in the first volume, I heard this from the Rav, that Minig Yisrael is the first child, the mother names the child. Well, he was his parents' first child. He was firstborn. He was the Bukhar. His mother should have named him. No, he's named after his father's father's father. So the Rav said that Reb Chaim came to Rebbetzin Pesha, and Reb Chaim said to Rebbetzin Pesha, married to Reb Moshe, the Rav's mother, Pesha Feinstein, and said to her, no one is named for my father, for the Beit HaLevi. If you name this little boy for my father, I will be Sandek at the Brit. So you're probably wondering, what's the big deal? Chaim be Sandek. Chaim was never Sandek Yossi. He was afraid of blood, the Rav told us. And he was willing to put up with the sight of blood to get the name for his great-grandfather. Now, there's the Beit HaLevi. Could you picture the Beit HaLevi in Washington Heights in Boston? A total failure. Could you picture the Rav going back to Slutsk, going back to Brisk? Wouldn't succeed. And this is Dodor Vidoshev. Very important. You need someone who can meet the needs of the generation. And Yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro. Now, why am I giving this introduction? Very simply. And now let me fill you in with the facts. And I want to humbly be modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. because unfortunately I'm the only one left who can tell you how it came about. Rabbi Miller wanted to be here, Rabbi David wanted to be here, but he has a little simcha today. He has the brit of a great grandson tonight, Hara. So I told him the brit comes 1,000,000% first. When we were growing up, Israel was very distant, although we were very big Zionists. The only Yiddishkeit we had in the Bronx was B'nai Akiva. I walked a 20-minute walk to B'nai Akiva. My wife walked, Malka walked 45 minutes, 50 minutes to B'nai Akiva. It's the only Yiddishkeit we had. So we were big Zionist. Israel was real in that sense. But on the other hand, who was to Israel? Who studied in Israel? It was unheard of. Six-day war came. And suddenly what we were taking for granted, that there'll always be in Israel, it became very questionable. And we had the miracles, and the entire Jewish world changed as a result of the Six-Day War. And on a personal level, and I write about this in Washington, and it should be publicized, we had a little miracle. This miracle that I'm about to tell you about is why we're able to sit in this building at this very moment. And I'm not exaggerating. And the miracle is very simple. I was a very idealistic young man in the rabbinate, building the first Orthodox shul, Maplewood, South Orange, New Jersey, getting a salary of $4,000 from the shul, out of which YU put in seed money, $2,000. And I was a Rosh Yeshiva. I was appointed. I can't go into details now, but fascinating story, and Reb Shmuel Belkin, Ich bin eich memana Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas B'Tzalchanan, and we drank a l'chaim of Ich mach ein t'nai. One condition, you have to go into the, remain in the rabbinate. I said, Dr. Belkin, I can't commute from Philadelphia to New York every day. Picked up a phone to Vic Geller. Vic, find a stella for a young man, Rutkoff. He should be able to commute. In addition, I taught at YU, a Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva. I got $4,200 a year. So I was telling the story in front of my grandchildren. My grandchildren said, wow, you got that much. They thought I was getting $8,200 a month. You followed back in 1962. So we had a limited salary, but I was very idealistic. I was a good Jew. I turned down offers. Oh, they said, well, a big conservative rabbi called me a masochist. They offered $25,000. I said, does the shul have a mechitza? No. I said, how can I take it? What are you, a masochist? You have a wife. You have children. That was Louis Levitsky, if you know who I'm talking about. So the Rebbetzin took very ill. Rebbetzin Tanya Soloveitchik. Mr. Gris went to visit her on her deathbed. And Mr. Joe Gris said to the Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin, was kann ich tun für euch? Ach, mechaya sein ein bisschen. I'm speaking Yiddish. Again, it's my native Torah language. I had to break my teeth to learn, but it's a native Torah language. I hope you understand me. I don't have time to start translating like a baby. What can I do for you to make you feel a little better? And the Rebbetzin said, it's unbelievable, Mr. Gris, the Rosh Yeshiva and YU are underpaid. They're not paid right. On the spot, Joe Gris, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, said, Rebbetzin, I'm giving $1,000,000 to YU with a pin in the money for the salaries of the Rosh Yeshiva. And there's the first one today. Einstein got $1,000,000,000. $1 million, the first $1 million gift. $125,000 a year for 8 years, and only for the Rosh Yeshiva. Why you? I published the letter from Dr. Belkin to me as one of the recipients. I published the letter in Washington. My salary practically doubled overnight. Salary doubled? My wife and I, Yom Kippur, 6 day war. We have to visit Israel. We came 68 on an RCA tour, rabbinical council. Wonderful people, wonderful friends, Rabbanim, Malka and I, and our two elder daughters. We took our baby daughter, we left with Malka's parents, and we were overwhelmed. We made a nether that we would come back and settle within 1 year. We left Israel in August 68. We left America to board the boat June 26th, I believe it was, 69. We fulfilled the vow. Now, I'll just end off with Mr. Gris, how it affects us here, but then I have to go back to how BMT came about. Years later, BMT was desperate for a new home, a new campus. Mr. Gris built this campus for the Rav. I'm going to be publishing on this in the next few years. I have unbelievable material. I'm working on my 10th book now, and it's the best I've ever written. I can tell you that. Unbelievable material. But to make it very brief, he was furious at the Rav that the Rav was not coming in Aliyah. The building was ready in 75. It stood empty for a year. Teddy Kolak got involved. And he pressed Joe Gris, give the building to David Yellen's Teachers College. They need a new home. You can't let the building stand empty. It is a security risk. The papers were written. Everything was agreed. Mr. Gris had not yet signed, but he was going to sign. And I get a call. I just finished basic training in the Army. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach, 76. I get a call from Reb Moshe Horowitz, could you see Mr. Gris at the King David? We made an appointment. You'll meet him, give him your book. At that point, it was the first edition of Bernard Revel. They now 4 editions, but we'll pay you back for the book. I think it was all of $6 it cost, JPS. I never got paid back for the book, but it was the best investment I ever made. I come to the King David. And Joe Gris, you know, a billionaire and a little poor kid from the Bronx. And Mr. Gris says to me, Dr. Rothkopf, I've heard you've done some very nice things here. Mr. Gris, whatever you've heard good about me, it's because of you. Now, he probably thought I was an idiot. What's this idiot telling me because of me? I said, Mr. Gris, let me explain. Do you remember the Rebbe, the visit, the hospital? Of course. Mr. Gris, with your money, we visited Israel and we vowed to come back. You brought me here. And why are you so upset that the Rav won't be here? What Torah depends upon is continuity. And if we're his Talmidim and we're teaching his Torah, then you have the Rav, you have his Torah. That's what counts. And with that, we fell on each other's shoulders crying. I would like someone should approach the King David Hotel to put a plaque on the floor. I'll show you exactly where in the lobby. At this spot, a little kid from the Bronx got the Gris campus for Torah from Mr. Joe Gris. We'll end it off there. Who would ever dream that next fall, this coming fall, we have a full college program from this campus for Yeshiva College and Stern College. And it all goes back to two people in the lobby of the King David Hotel. So I want to go in Aliyah. I know you need a job. I'm not a wealthy kid who can go in Aliyah. And so Malka grew up in the shul. One of her rabbis was Rabbi Heschel Shachter, Marshall Parkway Jewish Center, Bronx, North Bronx. Biggest rabbi in America is Rabbi J.J. Shachter's father, Zichrona Levracha, president of the Conference of Presidents, president of the Russian jury organizations, big shot in Mizrahi. So I told Malka, we should contact Rabbi Shachter. He has contact. And the next thing I know, I'm invited to meet someone very important that's coming in from Israel, head of the Korah Culture Department of the Jewish Agency. All this doesn't exist anymore. The history I could tell you, but it would take an hour. It's not for now. And I have a meeting at the Jewish Agency building with Moshe Kroner. Well, I meet with Moshe Kroner, and he tells me, and it wasn't his idea. He was like a sab in Shalat Yisrael, head of the Torah culture, but the person, his mankal, Menachel Klali, person who ran it, was Chaim Chamiel, and Chaim Chamiel had the soul of a poet. These were very unique people. These were Mizrachiites, Maskilim, Tamidei Chachamim, Yireyim Vishleimim, very distant from the Haredi world, but Torah Jews, 1,000%. And he said to Moshe Kroner, look, the Six-Day War has shaken up the whole Jewish world. Why don't we organize a school in Israel that will export Torah to the Anglo world? And in 68, they started talking about it. And Moshe Kroner interviewed me and spoke with me, and he says, "Anachnu nitzarech anashim kamocha. We will need people like you. Can't sign a contract yet. We don't have the school, but we're thinking, we're planning." And what did he mean, he need people like me? It's very simple. Yiftach b'doro k'shmur b'doro. Dor dor v'doshav. You're going to deal with Americans. Okay, first of all, Torah, very important. The heart of our existence. Lamdonim, I'm a Litvak. I respect nobody except Talmidei Chachamim. I'll be nice to everybody, but don't probably shtick on me that you're a Hasidish Rebbe, you have a long beard, payers, a Bekish, a golden handle on your cane. Min ken lernin or min kenish lernin? Okay, I'll talk in learning with you. You can learn better than me, I'll kiss your fingers. If I learn better than you, all right. I'll treat you like a human being, but I'm a Litvak, min daf kenin lernin. All right, I understand. I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. Why you? I didn't know, back in 68, I knew one millionth of what I know today. But I knew a little bit. But there's another part to it. Yiftach b'doro k'shmur b'doro. Gavriel, why is yours truly so happy today? Because Stanton hit a Grand Slam homer yesterday. Do you know that or not?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know? You're an Amoritz? No? What do you want out of me? Dina, you don't even know who Stanton is. You grew up in Philadelphia with the Phillies, the Athletics. You see, the Rebbe knows baseball. It's our generation. It's our mentality. I've told my Talmidim so many times in this room, I published the story with the Rav, Mo Berlin, when he came in Aliyah. I went to see Mo. Mo says, honey, you won't believe it. The Rav, and he's telling me he lived in Boston. He ran a hospital. So one time between Mincha Marv, the Rav says to Mo, Maishalah, explain to me baseball. And Mo has to sit down with the Rebbe, and he's explaining first, second, third, or fourth. Home run, strike. Well, when it's already time to daven Maariv, Mo says to the Rebbe, you have to know him, Zeichet Tzadik, all these great people are gone. He says to the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, I'm Shuldig. You know, why does the Rebbe have to know this? I'm quoting him word by word. The Rebbe looks at it with an angelic smile and says, Maishallah, my grandchildren are coming to visit me for Shabbos. I have to have something to talk with them about. And Rakefet adds a postscript that today, if you'll get his grandchildren, some of them will deny they ever knew anything about baseball. You follow me? Everyone became a tzaddik, a charedi. And you see, this is the idea behind BMT. And Rav Moshe Horowitz, and you'll read in the book, the life story, he and Leah had tried Aliyah earlier in the 50s. It didn't work out entirely. There was a health problem. They had to go back. And like everyone else, people went back for 2 years, 3 years. The 2-3 years, for some people, it turned into a lifetime. For other people, 30 years. For the Horowitzes, they got hit with the Six-Day War. It woke them up. At that point, he was principal of the day school in Washington. And my brother, my middle brother, Levi, who's listening now, so Levi was in Walter Reed Hospital. He was a doctor. He was doing his service for the American government. And Reb Moshe knew my brother, and through my brother, he knew a little bit about me as well, that I had gotten a doctorate in Jewish history, etc. Reb Moshe was a fabulous choice. Because here you had an individual who was as American as blueberry pie. From the Midwest, studied in Chicago, came to New York, studied with Rav David Lifshitz in Chicago, studied with the Rav in New York, later taught Maimonides in Boston, the Rav Moshe Horowitz, Whitey. There were two brothers, as I said, you can correct me. He was Moshe was called Whitey, the other was called Blackie, am I right? It was the color of their beards. Moshe's beard was more red, the other beard was darker. I met the brother on occasion. I met Rav Moshe's father here, and Leah came from a very distinguished Chicago Torah family. Beautiful family. And they were blessed choice. But what people don't realize, Rav Moshe didn't come in Aliyah to become the founding dean of BMT. He came in, they came in 68. He was the founding dean of Machon Lev. Do you remember that? Machon Lev was in Bayit Vagan, Rehov Rav Frank. And he was the founding dean. The next year, BMT opened. And it opened. They brought Reb Moshe in. It was a part-time job. 10 students.
Co-ed.
At the Machon Gol. That was the very beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
But right then, it split up. It was not co-ed anymore. Oh. It split up right away because they had to be different than Machon Chaim Greenberg. And these institutions, what we're referring to, Machon Gold, Machon Chaim Greenberg at that time, these were institutions to basically produce teachers for South America, for France, very little for America. Americans came, they went to KBY, Keren Biafna had a lot of Americans, and totally Israeli. There, Yossi, no adjustment made with American mentality. I'll tell you, Yehuda Dov, I'll tell you a precious story. You can pass it on to Chicago. I'm an ear eyewitness. A few kids already, early 60s, late 50s, went to Karen Biafra, totally Israeli. One of the kids came back. His name, Jerry Blau, my chavrusa, the mashgiach today, Rav Yosef Blau, but this was my chavrusa, Jerry Blau, BTA boy. And he comes back from Keren Biafna, and it's one of the top guys in the Rav Shir. And after class, we didn't let the Rav go so easily. We're talking with him and learning, continuing. And Jerry says to the Rav said, B'yavrit domrim, when I started teaching him, Michala, Kvold harav amah. I used to take a moment and tell my wife, Kvold harav amah. She said, throw out the garbage. Kvold harav amah. Big deal. But the third person, and Rebbe, the Rav says to Jerry, who are you talking about? Who is the Rav? And Jerry says, Rebbe, I mean you, so say me. Don't say this Kvold harav. I don't know who you're talking about. But you see the conflict, the American mentality, the Israeli mentality. BMT was the first real attempt to export Torah to the Anglo world. Now, a few weeks later, it had to be in October, I got a call. Not a call. Who had a phone? Telephone. I'm committing an agnostic sin. I got a telegram from what? From Whitey Horowitz. He wants to meet with me. I can still show you. We met in Rehov Malot, a little apartment owned by the Jewish agency. And he said to me, look, I know you were brought over by the Encyclopedia Judaica. They brought me to Israel. I have to give them all the credit and bow before them humbly. They sent Mr. Rishon, who was one of the owners, to interview me in America. And he interviewed me on Tainet Esther 69, and they gave me a contract on Purim 69. And the reason I was so attracted to them is that I had the contract with JPS for my first book, and this was very big. JPS then was five times what Art Scroll is today. It was a Jewish publication society, academia, scholarship, Chaim Potok, the editor, Baruch Hashem, Philadelphia, Dina, absolutely, JPS. So I was attractive. So they brought me, and I have to say to their credit, that I didn't know, I was so idealistic, I knew nothing about money. When I started work July 12th, I arrived in Israel July 5th, they wanted me to start work July 6th. I said, give me a week to catch my breath. Started work where Machon Meir is today, that was the encyclopedia building, and 2 months later they called me in and gave me an increase in salary, and I always look back, that was very nice. It showed menschlichkeit. Okay, so Whitey said, I quote, I know you got a doctorate in Jewish history. I want to do more than just Gemara in Beis Medrash LaTorah, BMT. Could you give me a course, modern Torah history, but liven it up that the student shouldn't be bored, because Jewish history can be a boring topic. And that's why I began lecturing. And with the theme, I just want to mention, this is Aryeh Fuld. He was killed in a terrorist attack in the Gush and a few years ago. Yira Tzadik, a wonderful family. His uncle Michael was one of the original 10 BMT students. And his uncle, I recall, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, he was the first student. Remember, I went through a whole adjustment. In America, I had 27 students called me Rebbe. Here, I'm working in the encyclopedia, all right? I'm working with great people, Chief Rabbi Rabinovitz, Chief Rabbi Kalbach. I had a lot of chief rabbis around me. Rabbi Bernard Klein from London, a Yid Tzaddik. Oh, what great people. And his Uncle Michael was the first student to call me Rebbe in Israel. One of the first 10, I still recall the Ziskite. And sitting here is a great nephew of Michael, who's my student today, Baruch Hashem.
He was
your madrich afterwards. He was a seifer. He married Chaya, the madricha from Machon Gold. She lived in Katamon. I think she moved now she and her husband to a senior citizens building. All right. Now, I want to go further. There's more to the story. This is how it began. This was the uniqueness. This was the culture challenge. How do you export Torah and inspire Anglo youth? And I don't think there was any experiment that succeeded more than BMT. It changed the Torah world, the Anglo-speaking world. You know what happened? Right at the early years, Karen Biavner formalized a division with Anglo mentality. The Gush got on the bandwagon, became a major part. Their foreign students division. Shalavim. Hakotel, you can go one by one. And then you have independent schools where there's no has the yeshiva next to it, such as Torah Shraga. Tens of thousands, ultimately, all the girls' schools. Machon Gold, from being a French, Spanish-speaking school, became an English-speaking school. Machal, Michlala, what? Till today. And Machal gave birth to many others. Beis Yaakov, Reverend Breuer, David, Rav Hutner's daughter, Zichronet Tzadik Levach, she was Malka's classmate in Hunter College. She has a doctorate, an excellent doctorate that I've quoted in class many times, on Rav Tzvi Hirschkayas. But in their world, they don't publicize that the Rebbetzin has a doctorate.
About a Maskil.
Excuse me?
About one of the chief Maskilim Talmidim.
Yeah, no. I called attention, and she Dafka wrote about someone who was in two worlds. He's one of the great Talmidei Chachamim, but also great in academia, a great, great Maskil. Fantastic what happened. But unfortunately, we're going to say it the Seder, B'chol Davadah Omdim Aleinu L'chalotenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. So we do something. You look in the Haggadah, we grew up in the Maxwell Haggadah, but you look in any Haggadah, lift up the coast. Tzvi, what are you lifting up the coast? What is this, a kosher bracha? What are you, an Amorex? What are you, Mitzadik Kedushin? Making Kiddush? Havdalah? Lift up the kosh. Charlie, the Rav asked this question. The Rav asked this very question. And the Rav gave an answer. Kegono tu kedako. Wow. See, he said kosh in biblical language represents destiny. Kol shushua dasah uvishem Hashem akra. Kol shatit mikol shatareila. It's destiny. You know why we hold up the coast? Because we have to acknowledge this is our destiny as Jews. In every generation, they're out to destroy us. Look back at our history. Today, there's no need even to elaborate. I never could understand. And remember, I grew up, people don't realize, I'm third generation American, but I grew up among the survivors, all my classmates, DPs, survivors, refugees who came in the late 30s. How could the world stand by and let 6 million Jews be killed? No, we don't have a question today. Look what we've just seen in the year 2024, 2023. America, Canada, England, South Africa, Australia, Brazil, Spain. It's beyond comprehension. That's not beyond comprehension. There's no way we can escape that destiny. We have to hold that course. And here we come to the heart of the book. And here I want to comment and roll up my sleeves. The price that we have paid. You talk about the war. BMT was so successful and inspired so many. And so many from the BMT YU world have come in Aliyah. Look how many YU families paid the ultimate price in this war. I don't have to go any further than the greatest people I have known, the Bentheims. You have no idea, Charlie and Els Bentheim, what a family. What a family. Two great-grandchildren fell in battle. One family. I know on all sides, all four grandparents. The price we have paid, the Horowitz tragedy. But you see here, the Horowitz tragedy, the story, their lives, it's the story of our generation. Now, is there anyone in this room who knows how to make a nice, good movie? What I'm about to talk about should be shown as a movie on Israeli TV. Be shown all over America. It's the story of our generation. And I have to tell Batsheva that you write about it, but I don't need anything that you wrote. I heard the story from Moshe Horowitz, from Leah Horowitz, from Dina / Debbie, from Ellie, and the story is the story of our generation. What marks our generation? We're a generation of Balei Tshuva. I grew up in the Bronx, 700,000 Jews. I don't think they were 10 Shomer Shabbos families. Certainly beyond the East Bronx, where you were afraid to walk already in the 50s, you don't have 10 Shomer Shabbos families. 700,000 Jews. Today, wherever I go, whoever I meet, my own students, some of the greatest NCSY products, B'nai Akiva products, Balei Tshuva, 100%. But there's the other side of the coin, a tremendous problem we face in Israel. So many chozrim b'she'elah. And I see it, I feel it, I hear my grandchildren talking about their friends. It's frightening. And I can understand someone raised Haredi. I've had a lot of experiences. Some of you know I've been honored by Lakewood and elsewhere, and you have to ask, Aaron, why they are honoring Rakefet? He's a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, hated, brutus, depraved, degenerate, the bounce, repetitions, Zionist in the full sense of the word. And right-wingers are honoring me. But I'll let you in on the secret. You should see the emails I have. How many Haredim who wanted to throw away Kol HaTorah Kula? and my shayurim saved them for Yiddishkeit. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I can understand Haredim, they reach a certain age, they broaden, and suddenly they're angry at the education they had and the lack of choice and the narrow-mindedness. But what I'm talking about, Tatlashim, I'm talking about in our world with the finest chinuch and an open chinuch and ahavat Am Yisrael and ahavat Torah Yisrael and ahavat Eretz Yisrael, and they too walk away. The story of the Horowitz children is exactly that story. Dina, Debbie, I just the sweetness, I can't, you know, there are certain students you can never forget. I hope they have a good Rebbe that they can't forget. But the Rebbe also has students that he can't forget. Understand? This girl from Washington, D.C., filled with life, comes to Michwala, no background basically, just minimal day school, came from a Jewish home, but not a religious home. And this girl, what a Bat Torah, who makes her from? Her best friend is Rabbi Horowitz's daughter, Tova, right? Do I have the name correctly? And they're best friends. And the Horowitzes, and she's a bat bayit. And she comes to Israel, studies in Michwala. She gets in, Rabbi Abeman, also my dear Rabbi Abeman, Zichrona Levracha, he's interviewing her, and she sees she knows very little, but she marked down, who does she know in Israel? Leah and Moshe Horowitz. Well, if she knows Leah and Moshe Horowitz, he's going to take her into Machal. And she comes in filled with life. Then you take Ellie, and Batsheva Satan reveals all the secrets about Ellie. A bright kid, brilliant kid, at an early age already. Goes away, Kol HaTorah Kula. Wow! No Yom Kippur. You read the book. And his parents pawn him off to his aunt in a kibbutz in Israel. Remember an irreligious kibbutz? I remember when BMT began, when this kid would show up, we would whisper, kids would look, yeah, you see, it's not really religious, not really this. And bright, but who the heck needs religion? Woodstock. Woodstock. Woodstock changed the world. We have our tragedy of October 7th. Thank Woodstock. No religion, no God, no responsibility, no demands upon us, do whatever the heck you want. Drugs, sex, no human greatness. Woodstock. No Yom Kippur. And they catch up with each other in Israel. And Ellie and Dina. And they start going with each other. The attraction. The secret of life. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yoima. Without that attraction, chickens didn't lay eggs. You all know what I'm talking about. But we have to know, Kadosh Hu, Kadosh Hani, to utilize it on a level of human greatness and dignity. The secret of life. Commitment, devotion, fealty, loyalty. They start going with each other. And Dina's best friend, Rabbi Horowitz's daughter, and Rabbi Horowitz, and Leah Horowitz, tell her off. They showed me where they were sitting in the car down the hill from here. And they tell her off. And they say, we wanted you to become a Bat Torah. Not to go out with our son. He's not for you. He's a disgrace to his family. Forget him. Could you imagine the parents that telling it's like this is a movie. It's unbelievable. And Baruch Hashem, they marry. Dina brings Eli all the way back. L'kavod u'l'tiferet. Wonderful students of mine. Dedicated. Learning. Intelligent. Knowledgeable. What Torah is all about. And look how it ends. The ending. B'chol davada omdim aleinu. But does it really end? You see, they created a beautiful family. There's continuity. Their children, grandchildren, there'll be great-grandchildren. There'll be a tribe, L'kavod u'l'tiferet. It's the painful experience of the Jew. The success, the tragedy, the achievement, the failure. We're only humans. And here I want to go one step further. The problem of the Chozrim B'Sheila from our world is a problem that haunts me. As I said a minute ago, I can understand you had a Haredi education. I have helped Haredim. You cannot start to believe what I have seen, what I have been told. I'm proud to say, some of you know that in this very room this past year, there were students of mine from Lakewood, from Chabad, from Ger, from just now everyone was excited. A graduate, someone who studied in Lakewood for 10 years and later got a PhD in psychology, he was dancing for joy meeting his Rebbe. He said he's been listening to me for over 10 years every shir. Because I don't repeat a shir, my shir, I teach myself. I don't teach classes since 2002. I gave up all my collegiate teaching just to teach myself. So I don't repeat. I'm ongoing. You want to join? Join. All right, I'm not exactly shy to tell you we've covered some fascinating material. Wait till you hear the next Sunday shir after Pesach. You'll hear that shir. Eugene, brother Eugene, your ears will pop out and you won't believe the source I have pulled up to show you. But Haredi world, and by the way, he came in from Anchorage, Alaska. He's in the United States Army. Remember, Yossi? Sitting right there where Tzvi is sitting. Yep. Anchorage, Alaska. United States Army. Yep. And the Air Force. Correct, correct. And everyone couldn't believe what went on. Oh, wow. And you don't know the comments I got from across the world. That student, Anchorage, etc. All right, I understand. But our education, B'nai Akiva, I see my grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, the Nachat. I already have great-grandchildren coming up the ladder. Where do we fail? And here I want to say, tell you a story and have the audacity to give a pshat that my Rebbe struggled with. In the right after the Six-Day War, it had to be, it's all right. I'm sorry. Right after the Six-Day War, So there was this great resurgence of Zionism. So on YU, there was Yom HaTzmut that year. I don't know, it did not fall on a Monday or Thursday. And the Bnei Akiva kids had their own davening and read the Torah. Kibbutz Adati was reading the Torah, part of Kibbutz Adati, on a day that Chazal were not matakin. It's not the Gemara in Baba Kama Shalei Yelchu Shloshi Amim. It's not Monday or Thursday. The Rav was very upset. He was davening at that minyan. I think they kicked him out or he ran out. And he spoke in class and he was very firm that Torah is more important than Israel, then you don't do this, it's forbidden. I heard the tape. I'm very thankful there was someone who picked me up in the second year of BMT. His father was very thankful to me because I was the first Rebbe that inspired this son of his. And he fed me tapes that he was legally copying of the Rav. Are you allowed to do it? All right, look up the Shach and Chayshin Mishpat and see when it comes to Torah what you're allowed to rob, what not. Those tapes saved my life. I write about it in Washington. So I heard this tape. And a kid raises his hand and he shoots at the Rav. He says, Rebbe, there's a Sifri. It's a Sifri quoted by the Ramban, quoted by Rashi. It's, I can give you the exact source, Devarim Yudalev Pashat Ekev, right towards the end of subdivision Yud Zayin in the Sifri, in the Malbim's edition of the Sifri. And the Sifri says, the whole purpose of mitzvot, everything we did in New York, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in London, in Johannesburg, the whole purpose is so that we should remember how to do mitzvot when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Kishatagzari lo yiyu alecha chadashim. Om alechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael Banai Hayu Mitzianim B'Mitzvot Shekhesha'atem Chosdrim Lo Yiyu Alechem Chadoshim. And this is the pasuk quoted from Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph Hatzivu L'Chatzionim. Rashi quotes this, the Ramban quotes this, Eilach HaMitzvot SheYisrael Mitzianim Behem. And according to this Medrash, all the mitzvah, all the Shabbat, and all the Kashrut, and all the Tarat Mishpacha, and all the Yom Tovim, everything we did in Chutz Laretz was so we should know how to live as Jews when we come back home to Eretz Yisrael. So the kid is asking the Rav, Rebbe, the whole Yiddishkeit is Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't count anywhere else. And the Rav, as only the Rav could, the Rav says, Ich verstehe nicht die Medrash und ich bin nicht mechuyev sein zu verstehen alle Midrashim. I don't understand this Medrash and I'm not obligated to understand all the Midrashim. I understand the Medrash. I'm going to be chutzpah enough to give an interpretation that obligates us. You see, in Chutz Laretz, you have a lot of Balei Tshuva. You have much less of a percentage of Chozrim B'She'ila. And you can check it out. And the reason is simple. In Chutz Laretz, the only way you're a Jew, Shabbat, Kashrut, Mikveh, Yontif, Lula, Vetrek, Matzah, without Rosh Hashanah, how do you know you're a Jew without that? It's the only way you're a Jew. I was Rabbi Meckwood, my vice president, Mr. Leff, an elder gentleman, And he would say, the shul is the embassy of the Jewish people. You come in here and you know that you're Jewish. Correct. Correct. All the mitzvah, they're not important unto themselves. It keeps us Jewish. Without that, you're not a Jew. You become a Baal Tshuva. You want to become Jewish. You want to learn about Judaism. Look at Joel Lieberman and look at his book on Shabbat. Absolutely. This is what attracts. This is NCSY. This is Chabad. I just was interviewed by Chabad. And I come home and I told Mark, I don't know why I waste my time with these Zoom interviews. Why do they drive me crazy? And who listens? Who cares? Who gives a hoot what Rakefet thinks in Jerusalem? It was worth everything. Chabad picked up Malka's first cousin. We're talking, told Malka's family's in America from the 1870s. She has great-great-grandparents buried in Mount Hebron in Queens. Who? Yiddishkeit, right from Yiddishkeit. This lady was picked up by Chabad, and she watches COL, Chabad Online, and she sees her. Hey, that's the rabbi married to my cousin, my first. She got in touch with us. She was so excited. I said, well, it was worth doing the interview. But that's how you know you're Jewish. In Israel, who needs mitzvot? Ben-Gurion spoke Hebrew, yes or no? Everyone speaks Hebrew here. Barak served in the army, most decorated soldier I'm told. As distant from anything Jewish as a Chinaman is from my Shayurim on Sunday and Monday. Who named? Tens of hundreds of thousands Jews from former Soviet Union? Not halachically Jewish, one grandparent. Are they Jews or not? The Supreme Court already ruled in the 60s. What we've gone through on this question, אני מדבר עברית, אני משרת בצבא, אני מסכן את חיי. מה, אני לא יהודי? אני משלם מיסים בעברית, אני מקלל בעברית. What, I'm not Jewish? Who needs Judaism? And the whole reason we observe mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz is to remain Jewish. The mitzvah themselves have no intrinsic value. But when we come back to Israel, we have to uncover the value, the beauty, the inspiration, what a Torah lifestyle is about. We have to make it stand, dance, be emblazoned in golden letters. Pride, we're Torah Jews. We only were able to survive 2,000 years of gullus because of these mitzvot. And now that we've come back, what is our claim to the land if not the fact that we are practicing Jews like our grandparents and great-grandparents, like all the generations that came before us. And the only way we can instill meaning and feeling and commitment and dedication is when we have a uniquely Torah Jewish way of life. We are not like all the other nations. Woodstock is not our cup of tea. Yes, we have joy, we have happiness, we have a Simchat Torah, but it has to be a Simchat Torah, not a Simchat Woodstock. And this is a challenge to us to educate, to teach, to inspire, and take the mitzvot and make them meaningful. Give them life, what a Shabbat means in the modern world, what the joy of family life, of children, of continuity, It's the greatest joy. It's the secret of existence. And that's the way I understand the Midrash. And it's a challenge. I don't deny it. In Chutz La'aretz, it's a lot easier. If you aren't in a shul on Shabbat, how do you know you're Jewish? Here, Shabbat, North Tel Aviv, Meretz. Could you imagine Tel Aviv, law of the land, no tefillin stands outside high schools? Think where we're at. Democracy, what's your value? That's your only value. Liberalism, Western world, the new generation. I don't call it the new generation. I call it, it's a return to the old generation. I call it paganism, where idol worship is. We worship ourselves. Shem Echad, God is one. No, worship ourselves. No one can tell us anything. We, now, here, Supreme Court, individual, progressiveness, democracy. Look where it's gotten us. 2024, and where's the world at? Our standards are living. This is the challenge. Make Torah meaningful within the context of the return to Eretz Yisrael, our homeland. And here, I want to say something else about Bathsheba. Let me just see if it's Bathsheba Satan. I can paraphrase it, but here it is. Here is a lady. Imagine to get a phone call. Your mother and father were just killed. You're a double orphan. Imagine to get a phone call like that. The challenge to continue with life, to be able to smile again, to laugh again. And this lady took it further. Right now, I'm quoting from one of the Alonim, one of the freebies that we get in shul on Friday. I encourage anyone listening in the States, Israel's the only country in the world where you get endless pamphlets on Friday, free of charge, enough reading for the week, and you get a free, top-quality newspaper every day, Yisrael Hayom. Not like in America, they give out a sheet of four little pages filled with ads, Shtuyot and Narishkeit. Here you get a real, popular, positive newspaper, Yisrael Hayom, free of charge. Come live in Israel, it is worth it. And in Olam HaKatan, I'm quoting from Gilyon 919, Pashat Lech Lecha, this year, page 6, an entire article and interview with Bathsheba Satan, the daughter of Eli and Dina. And do you know what she does? She has gone to every family. Do you know how many young people lost their mother and father, the tragedies of October 7th. She has gone to every family to say, I also lost my mother and father, but you have to go further. It's a challenge, but you have to overcome it and go further in dignity and build a beautiful life in consecration and memory to your parents who unfortunately have become part of Akedat Yitzchak and that syndrome that we cannot escape. B'chol avada omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu. And Rak, I'm quoting from Bathsheba now, Rak aleichem ani holechet, rotza sheyiskaklu li be'enayim, rotza sheyiru et hake'ev v'hagagua shalom marpim, rotza sheyiru sheefshar lichyot, kein mamash lichyot. I don't think we can do any better. We have to salute that Levi, that person. We have to salute Batsheva, Levi Nefesh. What a lady. What strength. What a message. I want to go one step further. And in Yena Dioma, something very important. I'm addressing the finest Jews alive. Those in front of me, those on Zoom, and the thousands that will hear and see on YouTube this lecture, this Shayur, this outpouring from a heart and a soul that is filled with Torah. We have a very big responsibility. It's not just making mitzvot meaningful and instilling our students, children, with pride. We have so much to be happy. And the way I was raised, who could ever dream that the state of Israel one day, as it has today, onto 3 million Shomer Shabbos Jews. Onto 3 million. I'm not talking tradition. I mean Shomer Shabbos. Not Mechalalei Shabbos, but Parhesia. And we'll get better and better Be'ezrat Hashem. What we recreated, I saw the Holocaust, I saw the generation afterwards. You all know that Malka and I worked for the Mossad for 10 years in communist Russia. It's a story unto itself. What we saw, and look where we're at today, with all the problems. But we, the people I'm addressing, the people who I reach out to, the people who reach out to me, who seek me out, we're more or less from the greater YU school, OU, Young Israel, B'nai Akiva, Ezra, many different names, Kibbutz Adati, Torah Derech Eretz, Torah V'Avoda, Torah Umada. We have all people who have successfully maneuvered in the world in which we live, a world filled and inspired by Torah, but part of the modern Western world of achievement. I don't have to tell you, I have many grandchildren with doctorates in many different fields and terrific contributions to Israel, to the future, Be'ezrat Hashem. And the combination, I have one grandchild, can't go into details, I'm under a security clause. It's a doctorate from the Technion. And Malk and I would visit. I had a lot of grandchildren at the Technion at one time. And the professors fell in love with the grandparents, came in Aliyah, America, and they did a display for us of what my grandson invented. And we had to sign a security, it's the third security pledge I've signed in Israel, because they revealed secrets to us. It's my grandson's secrets, but we saw our own eyes. But this grandson, with all that I'm telling you, and his work, and referral, etc., he blows the same shofar that Malka's grandfather blew in Bensonhurst in East New York. Follow me? The same shofar. Malka inherited it, and we made a case for him, and of course we see he blows shofar. Today I have great-grandchildren blowing that shofar as well. But that's what life is all about. That's what we have succeeded. We can work for a file and blow shofar and learn daf yomi. We can bring it all to fruition. The kavod l'tiferet, mitzvah yishuv eretz Yisrael. And that's the Chatam Sofer that I've quoted in class so many times, the Chidushim on Sukkah Lulav HaGuzzle. Yomo can show it to you in the library downstairs, that in Eretz Yisrael, everything you do is a mitzvah of Yishuv. He raises the question, Abe, did you daven this morning? Put on tefillin? Why? How can you? You have to be busy plowing the field. Chatam Sofer's question. Oh, sefer mitzvah, patam in a mitzvah. But he gives us the key that God created. Hu tziva v'hu tziva. We have to do everything. But daven, plow the field. But remember, when you're plowing the field, when you're inventing something, when you're a doctor, when you're a dentist, when you're a lawyer, when you're an accountant, when you're building the economy, mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Don't have it in Teaneck, don't have it in Beverly Hills, don't have it in Golders Green. But here, whatever you're doing, we have a tremendous responsibility. The problem of the Haredi world and the Gius, what's going on, is not going to go away. Unfortunately, I was proven to be a katan or a shoteh, because some of you will remember I gave a talk in memory of the Rav in Beit Shemesh, what was it, Chol HaMoed Pesach, or thereabouts, the yard site, a little afterwards. And at the end of the talk, I spoke about the problem of the army. And I think people looked at me quizzically, you know, what's the big deal? Boy, it's not just become a big deal, it's become the only deal if you follow the Alonim and the weekend newspapers and the op-ed pieces. Now, you can be very critical of the Haredi world. I've heard endless criticisms. I don't think anyone, I think I said it as good as anyone. I don't bow to any Haredim. This attitude of not serving in the army to me is Reform Judaism. What is Reform Judaism? You choose what's easy for you. Shabbat, throw it away. Kashrut, who needs it? Taret Mishpacha, Mandech Hashmei. The army. It's Reform Judaism. There is no Jew alive and no Gadol B'Torah alive who can show me how anyone living in Teaneck is exempt from serving in the Israeli army. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein already raised this issue, published in Tradition about 40 years ago. Every last Jewish male, and it could be female as well, we don't have a greater milchemet mitzvah than that which we have today. This is Habolach HaGercha Hashkein V'Hargo. Biden and many assimilated Jews, Bernie, don't want to even mention their names, but senators, congressmen, Haaretz, I've read articles in Haaretz, you got to read them in your birthday suit, because you're chayef to rip Kriya, plain and simple. They wanted the Panovich Rav to head the Agudat Yisrael ticket, and he said, "Ich bin nicht reich genug, I'm not rich enough." So they looked at Rav Chanan, "What do you mean you're not rich enough to be in the Knesset?" He said, "If I'm in the Knesset and hear some of the speeches, I have to rip Kriya every day. Who can afford to buy a new suit every day?" Haaretz, oh, we you have a tremendous challenge, no two ways about it. But you take what's easy. Not to serve in the army? The Gemara in Saita, Daf Mem Daleh, and the whole Sugya, the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Hilchot Melachim? Kala Mechupata? Right or wrong? All right, I give shirm, I can explain what God, the role, women, I'm not in favor of women being frontline soldiers, and anyone with seichel, after what happened to the women down south, has to understand that women can't be frontline soldiers. They can do many things in the army and be very helpful and be the heart of the army in intelligence, etc. But we have to know our place in life. But we have successfully bridged two worlds. Basically, it's one world. The Torah world, lives today in the current civilization. Torah was given for every civilization. It's eternal. And we have successfully bridged this gap. We have to go out and explain and lead and cajole and just help them come across this bridge. It's an involved process. It's not just the Haredim. The army has to be ready to accept them. And you have to understand their requirements. And by the way, kashrut is the least problem. The army today is glatt kosher. The only meat they order is glatt meat because there's so many Sfardim in the army, Beit Yosef. So that's not the heart of the problem. But you have to have an atmosphere of kedusha, of holiness. It's a problem, women, etc., trying to keep the sexes not the way they live in North Tel Aviv, but with kedusha that a gerach chassid can feel at home in the army. We have to lead the way, set the example. We have succeeded, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al Pi Torah Yisrael. We have to take charge and kazera'e v'kadesh. And I'll end off with one little story on illustrating what we're talking about. I have one grandson. He happens to have two doctorates. First doctorate was in molecular biology, and second doctorate was in MD. At his graduation, there was a very unique classmate. You've read about him in many newspapers recently. He's a gera chassid, b'lei v'nefesh, with gera levush. And he shocked his wife and his parents. He grew up in Hanof, by the way. And he announced he wants to be a medical doctor. And when they saw they couldn't stop him, they went along with him. God bless his wife and his parents, encouraged him. And he's been written up in all the newspapers now. If you read that the other day, I read in the newspaper that during the week he's in a medical uniform, and Shabbos he's in a bekesher and a shtreimel, and many times he's in the army, in army fatigue as a doctor down in Aza. And they wrote him up, and a fabulous individual. Anyway, he graduated with my grandson. And at the graduation, the dean of the medical school said something that I applaud. He turned to this gera chassid and says, "We're very proud of you that a gera chassid is graduating medical school with honors. But we're even more proud that after so many years in Technion, you remain the same gera chassid that you came in." And you see, this is the challenge, and we have to help and have to lead. So to summarize, it's a wonderful book. It's a tribute that we all owe to the Horowitz family. Hakarat HaTov, according to the Chovat HaLevavot, is the basis of Yiddishkeit. Our worship of God is the result of Hakarat HaTov. I'm quoting the Chovat HaLevavot, and the Rav would quote this many times. And we owe this Hakarat HaTov. The family has much to be proud of, and unfortunately, much to cry about. And this is our Jewish or Yiddish or Torah geshik mazel. It's our destiny. We can't avoid it. There's the achievement, and there's the tragedy, the death, the world that is so callous and hateful and lack of any understanding. And finally, I want to end off with one more vart. It's a vart from the Musa world. No, Leil HaSeder right upon his duck. Did you get matzah yet? I already bought for, say it'll be at my daughter, big box, wow, canned matzah, delicious shmura, ate ala chumras, but also very good. It's kamel matzah. It's a very, not like it, when we were growing up, the matzah tasted like cardboard. This is like cake. So, all right, we're going to have matzah. You're going to have mara. You wise guy, when you were growing up, you helped your parents clean the mara. It took you hours. Today, Gush Katif, their method of growing, I can clean enough mara for 20 people in 10 minutes. Right or wrong? Then comes the Seder. Oh, you made it. Motzi lechem min haaretz. And then afterwards, the mara. Vic, it's the wrong order. You begin, what did we go through? Inuyim, slavery, Mitzrayim. The matzah is only afterwards. And Leil HaSeder, just the opposite. Good question. Yossi, let me spare you a class in psychology. If we were to be upset by all the tzaras we have in life, we could never succeed. We'd be overwhelmed with depression, negativism. In healthy human beings, there's a defense mechanism. We stress the good, we minimize the bad. A healthy human being, well, a guy went out, I have one grandson, then I met another one, each one was telling me this one dated 96 girls till they got married. Someone told me they dated 102 girls. But Baruch Hashem, they're praising the girl they married. They forgot already about the 96 tzaret and heartache and what went on. And duck, you got me? That's the healthy defense mechanism. Leil HaSeder, yes. The matzah, the freedom, the achievement, Yetziat Mitzrayim. Then afterwards, when we're so excited and happy, we say, my dear Jew, pause for a moment and think what came before. And we're obligated, yes, the matzah first, but we must take the mara afterwards. That's our life, that's what we've been through, and unfortunately, that's what we will continue to experience. I want to salute Elisheva. You've given us a wonderful volume, a beautiful volume. You've given us both the matzah and the mara, and you've given it in the proper order. And your life story and life example has shown us that one can go further and have life and be constructive after so much heartache, tragedy, and depression. This Leil HaSeder, we'll all rejoice in the matzah, but we will participate with you in the mara as well. Bashana haba biyerushalayim hashlema. Habenuya. Yomo, do me a favor. Elisheva, are you on? Excuse me, Elisheva? Batsheva, excuse me. Batsheva, are you on?
She's not.
No, she's not. I wanted her to say a few words, but okay. All right, if that's the case, let me just tell everyone that you're all invited back on, what, when do we pick up again? I believe it's March 5th. We pick up with our Sunday Shir, yeah, March 5th. March 5th. I'm still on October 7th. May 5th, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up with our Sunday Shir. We're in the middle of the Tshuvah of Reb Menashe Klein, using it as a springboard to understand the world of Halacha. We've been dealing with Reb Menashe Klein for many, many years now, and we're all up to a very simple question. Are you allowed to curse another Jew? And boy, I will show you a source that I heard about when I was a little kid. And here it is, black and white, a great Rav maledicting and cursing the Tzionistim, the Mizrachistim, the Agudistim, the Socialistim, Yemak Shmon, the Zichram. Are you allowed to talk like that? That's the question we're dealing with. The Monday class, we're in the middle of, we haven't repeated a shiur in either class since 1978 when the Kollel began. And in the Monday class, we're in the middle. I asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, give me about another 240 years of life. We're in the history of the yeshiva in Eastern Europe. We spent over a year in Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, and now we're beginning Yeshivat. We're now in the middle of Yeshivat V'Lashon, and everyone is invited to join us 9 a.m. Sunday, Monday. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, honoring me with your presence today. Anyone who wants to purchase the book, it's available right outside the door. And it should be a freilich in Pesach, a kushir in Pesach, chag kasher v'sameach. To Jews like us, we have to say chag sameach v'kasher. You understand what I'm saying? That we got to remember, as I said yesterday in class, I always quote the Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, that the women, my wife, Hanukkah time already, starts pre-Pesach cleaning. And imagine I would quote Rav Scheinberg, what are you worried about? The crumbs on the floor. Pirumim abatelim umavatelim. Could you imagine telling a Jewish woman, leave the crumbs on the floor, don't worry about it. That's why we need a Chag Sameach. Kasher Baruch Hashem. Okay, Yomo, I thank you very, very much. And I thank everyone and everyone on screen. Das v'danya.